In June 2023, people coming back from a wedding in the Hunter Valley suffered an horrific bus crash. 10 lives were lost, dozens injured, and the nation was left asking how such a tragedy could happen. Thomas Kutas asked John Gaffney, the father of the groom whose son was injured in the Hunter Valley crash, and also a retired engineer in traffic and road safety, to reflect on the experience and the safety measures currently in place on buses. We warn that this story does contain content that some listeners may find distressing.
Yeah, look, it was a pretty difficult time. I should point out that it's still a difficult time for many of the people involved in the bus crash and their families. Some people are struggling, and quite a number aren't working 2 years on or able to work at their full capacity. So it's quite a significant event. I have been able to reflect on seatbelts on buses, and I suppose in a summary sense, when we had two very big bus crashes in 1989, when there's a shortage of bus drivers in the pilot strike that we had, by 1996, the law was, the regulations were meant to be changed so that seatbelts were installed on all buses. But a loophole has allowed many buses to be built and operating on our roads without seatbelts. And it's only next year we will see the federal government plug that hole, the loophole that allowed new buses to be built without seatbelts.
Why are seatbelts still overlooked on coaches and tour buses despite being legally required?
Well, the loophole was if the back of the seat was less than a metre high, you didn't have to fit it. They left it in a clause in another specification that the industry made use of. But the real issue is it took 10 or 20 years to get everybody to wear seatbelts in cars, 55 years ago almost. And there was campaigns and education to get people wearing them on buses, on cars, but we never did the same sort of campaign on buses. And there's been no enforcement. I'm not aware of anybody who's been caught not wearing a seatbelt on a bus. That if you have a law and you don't enforce it, and a lot of the buses are also overcrowded with people standing, and one day there's going to be a serious injury, because if the bus has to brake or swerve or stop quickly, humans can't hold on even at 30 kilometres an hour. So they'll be thrown right around and severely damaged. So, it's just a loophole that's fallen through the cracks. And to close that question out, our buses are about five times more dangerous per registered vehicle than the sum of all the other vehicles on the road. And if you take the distance they travel into account, they're about three times more involved in serious injuries and fatalities.
You know those little alarms that go off where it says seatbelt must be on or something like that? Is that still like a safety sort of feature that's making us safe, or do you think more needs to be done?
Everything's adds and cumulative. I'm being negative here. If there's lots of alarms going off in the bus, because a bus might have 45, 50 seats, it's going to end up distracting for the driver, I would have thought. So it's not necessarily a real answer. But if I can just give you an example of, we recently had a federal election, and the thing that I noticed on the television was the politicians weren't wearing seatbelts while they're travelling along, and their media crews. So we've got a real problem where it's just not seen as a thing to do in wearing a seatbelt on buses. It's just a real cultural problem. And an ad on TV for a few months or whatever is not going to solve that problem.
So do you think that bus operators should be held accountable for encouraging or enforcing seatbelt use, but also responsible for the fact that people are not putting them on?
I'm always a bit wary of overloading drivers with responsibility. However, I think with the new policy, they're looking at doing announcements, but every time the bus doors close or whatever, that you've got to have a seatbelt on, that's a good start. If it's a school bus, the teachers should be responsible, I would have thought, to make sure the students that were travelling with them on a bus, say a school excursion,
So what you're saying is it's our responsibility to sort of make the decision to put our seatbelts on.
Well, ultimately, I believe it is the individual's responsibility, but without a carrot and a stick, so a stick and a carrot or whatever, the culture, we haven't changed since the Hunter bus crash. There's no statistics in any of the states to suggest there's one more person wearing a seatbelt.
Now, John, you and somebody else 5 months after the accident wrote an inquiry report to Transport for New South Wales in November about improving bus safety in New South Wales and in Australia. Could you expand more about it briefly?
Yeah, look, just very briefly, that report has 18 recommendations. Mm. There's a lot more to come out about the Hunter Valley bus crash once due process has taken place. We've still got more court cases and there's coroner's reports and an OTSI report from the New South Wales government. There's a lot still to go. But one of the failures in the Hunter Valley bus crash, which is in most of the heavy vehicle crashes and the spate of bus crashes we've had, particularly in Victoria and Queensland's had a few too, is the chain of responsibility requirements. Who is responsible for making sure, for instance, that, you know, the doctor's not providing additional medications such that the driver should never be driving, for instance, on the road. You know, he has a certain limit he can drive on, but who's responsible for issuing or monitoring what drivers are taking and their health, right? There's a breakdown in the system at many levels. That was just one example of a breakdown in the system. If a company, a truck company or a bus company, unloads a driver for poor behaviour, that driver can just show up in a job somewhere else next week because there's a shortage of bus or truck drivers. So there's a lot of breakdowns in the chain of responsibility legislation and the way it's actually implemented and audited by the National Heavy Vehicle Regulator. And there's also a real problem with our heavy vehicle standards. We track so far behind Europe. We're a signature to the EU standards, but we don't implement them here. And one of the problems for that, there's only a small team, 15, only a couple of technical people in the federal office, yet we've got 22 million vehicles registered on our roads. It's just they just don't have the resource or the capability to look at thousands of regulation clauses and align them with the countries, Europe, where we're a signatory to their standards. So we're a long way behind.
John Gaffney, the father of the groom whose son was injured in the Hunter Valley crash, and a retired engineer in traffic and road safety, speaking there with Thomas Kutis. And if you or someone you know needs some support, please call Lifeline on 13 11 14.